An investigation by the Bush administration has led to a range of allegations against North Korea. The administration says North Korea's government officially sanctions criminal activities. Those activities include counterfeiting American currency, the production of narcotics and other drugs, and the counterfeiting of American and other cigarette brands. The administration is divided over how to use this information, whether to pressure North Korean leaders to give up nuclear weapons or give up power. NPR's Mike Schuster has more.
The criminal activities of North Korea are nothing new. The United States has known about them for many years. But what the Bush administration's investigation found is that profits from crime are now generating more than $500 million a year for the government in Pyongyang. The investigation, begun in 2001, found that the North Koreans are counterfeiting U.S. $100 bills as well as Japanese currency. They are producing heroin, methamphetamines, and fake pharmaceuticals such as Viagra, and they are manufacturing fake Marlboro and other brands of cigarettes, along with the American tax stamp supplied to each pack.
You name it, they're pretty much in it, and their product mix more or less shifts in line with law enforcement against it and, frankly, client demand.
David Asher was the State Department official who headed the investigation. He is now out of government. He says that after the collapse of the Soviet Union, North Korea's economy went into a steep decline in the 1990s, and it was then that Pyongyang took to crime in a big way. And he says there is plenty of evidence that these activities are under the control of the top leaders in North Korea, including Kim Jong-il.
Kim Jong-il is the head of the Korean Workers' Party, and it has become known to us and to many countries in the world that agents and organizations affiliated directly with the Korean Workers' Party are the prime transactors of these criminal businesses.
The administration's investigation involved 14 federal agencies, including a wide range of intelligence offices. Mitchell Reese, who for 2 years headed the State Department's policy planning office in the first Bush administration, said the investigation revealed a much larger criminal enterprise at the heart of the North Korean economy than he expected.
The scale and the scope of the multiple investigations and the multiple nefarious activities of North Korea did surprise me and did surprise my colleagues at State. We had underestimated the vigor and the skill with which the North Koreans had engaged in these multiple activities.
Within the past 6 months, the U.S. government has begun to act to stop these activities. In September, the U.S. Treasury Department named a bank in Macau, a tiny former Portuguese island colony now part of China, as a money laundering operation for North Korea. The Justice Department has also brought indictments against dozens of alleged Chinese criminal gang members in Newark and Los Angeles, accusing them of smuggling drugs, counterfeit cigarettes, and counterfeit currency into the U.S. These illicit products are believed to have originated in North Korea. Robert Einhorn, former Assistant Secretary of State for Nonproliferation Issues, says the administration now has to decide just what it wants to do with what it's learned.
I think it's very positive that the Bush administration is cracking down on North Korea's illicit activities and their illicit sources of income. I also think it's important that we crack down on them in a way that complements and reinforces what we're trying to do in the six-party talks on the nuclear issue.
For more than 2 years, the United States, South Korea, China, Russia, and Japan have been negotiating with North Korea over its nuclear weapons program in what has come to be known as the six-party talks. Right now, North Korea is using this investigation as an excuse to boycott the talks. At the same time, the Bush administration is divided over what it sees as the goal of the investigation. Some hardliners in the administration believe it can strangle the Kim Jong-il government and bring it down. Others, like Mitchell Reese, who is now provost for international affairs at the College of William and Mary, do not believe the pressure can bring about regime change, but Reese argues it can cause a significant change in North Korea's behavior.
The illicit activities and the crackdown on these activities is part of a larger effort to try to redirect and rechannel North Korea's activities away from being a rogue state or a member of the Axis of Evil into a more normal state, a more normal member of the international community of countries. And it's really up to the North Koreans to hopefully make the right decision.
The Bush administration has sought the help of many other governments in this investigation, especially that of China. To a large extent, North Korea exports its illicit products through Chinese ports. But to maintain Chinese cooperation, the Bush administration has to be clear on what it wants from North Korea, says Robert Einhorn.
If the Chinese believe that we're pursuing these measures for regime change, then we can't expect Chinese cooperation because they don't favor a sudden collapse of the North Korean regime.
David Asher, who spearheaded the investigation, also believes the goal should be to end North Korea's nuclear program and encourage it to become a normal state.
if the North Korean leadership were to embrace the opportunities that are being put forward, I think it would be surprised by what it would get. At the same time, if it continues to act as a international pariah state, a soprano state, as I call it, I think the implications of its behavior for its ability to operate in the international system could become painfully clear.
That means, in all likelihood, more revelations and more pressure on North Korea's criminal activities in the coming months. Mike Schuster, NPR News.